Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday. That means it is Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joins us now. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We were talking at the start of the show, you know, it's NFL schedule release day, and once we know, you know, when the Titans are playing and when will it come after the bye week, whose opponent are they playing after a bye week, we'll know, or at least have a better idea of, okay, this is a game the Titans should win, this is a game the Titans definitely will lose. So once we get kind of a, you know, 360-degree view of what the schedule is going to look like, we'll have a clearer vision. But if you could come up with, you know, a record of what you think could be a solid year for the Titans, or what might answer some of your questions that you could have about Will Levis, what would that be?
Well, I mean, I think, first off, the unanswered questions about the additions and how impactful they're going to be, especially the first two picks of this draft, Caroline, that comes to mind immediately when we're predicting anything. You know, there are stretches during a season too where, you know, the Titans, we've seen where they've had they went a month, nearly a full month. I know the London game was a home game, but they went a long stretch without playing a game at Nissan Stadium. Those all factor into what I would do too. Yeah, I mean, what's a success? What do I view as just sitting here in May, Will Levis, all that? I mean, I think like 8-9 wins can put you in the final wild card spot in this league now. Does that answer a lot of questions, though? You know, like, to me, it's not I go back to the record. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose.
Yeah.
You know, did they lose Will Levis in October because the offensive line sucked? There's a lot of what ifs to all this. But, I mean, year one, first-year head coach, first-year play caller, a quarterback with a new system, but a system that should fit him really well, with a four-pack of wide receivers, really a three-pack and a one that you want to see more of in Treylon Burks. This should, to me, based on last year and where they want to go and how they build, and I still feel like they're another offseason away from truly contending in the division, that would be a success in my eyes, just sitting here, just 30,000-foot view, really just very surface level with all of this.
Right, like if the Titans go 13-4 or 4-13, ideally you would have a clear vision of the quarterback position, assuming Will Levis stays healthy. You'll know one way or another, okay, he's our guy or he's not. My biggest fear, Hut, whether it's due to injury or like a mucky middle 9-8, 8-9, that we still have pretty big questions about Will Levis's future and if he can be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, they're clearly building around him. And, you know, if I know that the Vegas odds, what, for the top picks in the draft next year, they've got the Titans second or third worst in terms of odds to have a top five pick. So, like, a top five pick, which would make them second or third worst in the NFL, Vegas odds-wise. So, well, take that for what it's worth. But, And I think some of these early mocks have them taking a quarterback too, Caroline. I think I heard you say that last week.
Carson Beck, welcome to Nashville.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Will Levis should have every opportunity to exceed expectations, which I think are pretty flatline right now. I don't know what to expect from Will Levis in this system because I'm still viewing Will Levis the quarterback at Kentucky instead of the quarterback I saw last year because of the system and the offensive line that I saw last year. I want to see him with a Bill Callahan offensive line, with a coach that knows quarterbacks and has coached some of the best, period, and the development that they can have with every asset possible around him. You should learn quite a bit about the quarterback this year, in year two. And he's not the only QB that's going in with a new head coach, although I think he's in a better situation right now than Bryce Young.
Yeah, it seems to be the way it looks in regards to
Let me ask you guys this. Uh-huh. We will discuss a lot about Will Levis, and that's the biggest question, mm-hmm. right? If we end up in 2024, if we still don't know, don't we know?
Yeah, if you don't know, you know.
Yeah. And that's, and so that, I think some, you come out of this with a definitive answer regardless.
Yeah.
Let me throw a counter. Did we know about Jared Goff at that age?
I think we did.
We did.
After Fisher left, at
Will Levis's age?
Yes.
He was younger.
Well, we knew he could take a team to the Super Bowl.
Did you know about Mariota after year two?
I don't think so.
Mariota after year two.
I liked what I saw.
Actually,
from Mariota
after year two, he looked good. So you were like, okay, he can do this. But then it completely fell off the table.
I still think the picture is good or bad, still incomplete after next year. That's how I would answer.
I agree. And the incomplete thing, though, I just put it in the same pot that I've always put these other discussions, right? Like we tend to not really put all our chips in that basket. And if you can't do that in this league, you're not going to have success. And especially in this offense, like that, this is an offensive minded driven football team now. So I don't think they sit around and wait and see what happens. McVay didn't sit around and wait on Goff, even though he'd been to a Super Bowl appearance, for instance.
But I think that Goff, we had a great discussion about him yesterday and how a quarterback can go down a winding road a little bit, because he has turned into a really good quarterback who just got paid unbelievably well. And his team looks like it's going in the right direction. And so I just – And I use Mariota as another good one that Caroline just brought up. We did the stats of his second year. It looked pretty good. I think last week when you were on. But we talked about that. So, I mean, there could be some false hope, and then there could be giving up too early.
But there was, after year two, Mariota was the face of the team. He was the face of the franchise. He was the number two pick. But it was still run-based. It was still offensive line, bully ball. You know, like this – I think we learn more about the quarterback now than maybe we have, period, because it's on his arm more than it is in the backfield.
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, let's continue with this with Will Levis, because I look at it from this standpoint, and we talked about this, them bringing in the receivers that they did. They brought in a veteran group of receivers.
Yeah.
So to me, it tells me that they're trying, if they want to know, and they want to know quickly about Will Levis. And when I say quickly, they want to know by the end of this season, they want to know if he's the quarterback or not. Because if he's not, I do believe they're going to go in another direction. Because, again, this wasn't my guy in a sense. It was, but it wasn't in a sense, meaning the head coach saying it. The GM could say it was my guy, but the head coach saying it, listen, this is not my guy. I can't work with him. So they're surrounding him with three veteran guys that have made a lot of plays in his league. And if we don't know after this season, we got to move on. Because under any other circumstance, with three veteran receivers that have played considerable amount of snaps in this league, that have made a lot of plays, and if we still have questions after this season with an upgraded offensive line, then we have to move on. We don't have time to sit and wait whether you get it right, because there are two teams above us right now that feel they've gotten it right. I'm not counting Indianapolis. They may think that. But Jacksonville and Houston, they think we got our quarterback. Well, you need to find out if you have your quarterback quickly, and quickly means this year. If you don't know if you have your quarterback this year, then you may have to look at drafting another one in the first round.
Yeah, but I don't know if they fully move on from Levis, though, Mace, because of the.
But you're setting him up to be. You're setting him up with the weapons that a young quarterback would love. Three veteran guys that have made a lot of plays shorthanded. If you can't operate under this, what makes you think you can operate under anything else? How I looked at Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Joe Flacco proved that he can operate when veteran guys are on, and he excelled. So they said, okay, this is our guy. And they started adding pieces around. They started getting younger at that position. That's the same thing with Will Levis. We need to find out. If you can't do it with three veteran guys that we all have said are really good veteran guys playing on and off the field, if you can't get it done with them with an upgraded offensive line, I'm not sure if you can get it done. So I need to protect my job. This organization, I may just have to draft another quarterback in the first round.
Well, and that may be the case. I just I think
I'm not advocating for that, but I'm just giving you the
But I don't think when you say move on, I think he's still on the roster. I think he's just going into 2025 in competition.
Okay.
You know, like because of the his salary plays a factor here. He's not so bad that he can't even be on the roster and be in competition with whoever they bring in, right? Like I don't think he would sour the way Kenny Pickett soured in Pittsburgh after that season. So like after that type of season where there's an uncertainty and they're bringing in a vet, I think the Titans would still go young and want to develop underneath Callahan. So you still have Levis there too. And I mean, I don't sit here and say I have low expectations for him. I have reasonable expectations given that I'm also saying that they're still another full offseason away from where they need to be. And so I do factor that into my expectations for the quarterback play too. I don't think he falls flat on his face. And I don't think that he has some breakout year where we're talking about a Pro Bowl-like season that's like a C.J. Stroud-type performance. But I don't think he sucks. And because of that, I don't think you can just fully say that, peace out, we're moving on. I think at worst, there's an uncertainty as we sit here next year, knowing who's going to win the starting job for week one against their opponent when the schedule's released.
Now, how do you think this thing plays out on the right side of the offensive line? We got a good idea of what the left side is going to look like with Latham, Skoronski, and Cushenberry. Yeah. But how do you think this right side is going to fare out? Is it going to be Nicholas and Dylan Raitens competing for that tackle, or do you think they shift Raitens inside a guard and just let Nicholas and whoever else just compete at that right tackle?
I mean, I don't know about you. I think Nicholas Petit-Frere should win that job at right. Like I've got him. Yeah, I mean, so here's to me the biggest storyline, other than what is taking place at left tackle right now, with Latham and whether or not he transitions well. And they clearly think he's going to be fine. I mean, they've been pretty certain in their answers there. It's one of two things. It's either Cushenberry for me up front, which they desperately have missed Ben Jones. And if he steps in and becomes that type of glue guy, that is a huge asset for the offensive line and a huge piece that they have back. That's either the biggest storyline after Latham, or it's which of the two spots on the right side of the offensive line does Bill Callahan work his magic on to the point where there's just confidence and there's no more questions about who the guy is at that position. Is it Nicholas Petit-Frere? Is it Dylan Raitens? Which guy is going to have more of the dog in him? More of the plant the opponent across the line from you into the ground type mentality.
I would sleep a lot easier if I knew Nicholas Petit-Frere could be counted on.
Yeah.
At the right tackle, because I'm going to lead into the debate we had yesterday with Carolina D-Mays, because obviously that would mean that Latham is your left tackle. That's your perfect scenario, right? All of a sudden, I got two tackles that I feel pretty good about. They're both pretty young. Hey, I'm sleeping really well.
What a concept.
No drip at night.
Two tackles.
I don't have the Andrew Brunette drip keeping me up late at night, like worrying, like, what do I do? How do I get out of this? What's the best way to do this? Right now, Rand Carthon's got the drip. Who's my... Is Latham going to be the left tackle? Everybody's saying, I don't know. And then Nick Petit-Frere coming back? Like, these are major question marks that have got to keep you up at night.
Just to tag off that, if you're sleeping well at night about right tackle, that means left tackle's taken care of, too.
Because I get that.
Petit-Frere would be the left tackle. They would swap him, right? Like, I'm trying to think about what they would do. That's who they put in last year. When Carthon was still there. And we just don't know about Petit-Frere because he's missed so much time. You know, so that to me is the biggest issue with him. One of them was a 6-game suspension that was reduced, but like some of it's injury. So I think if he's available, he's your right tackle right now.
All right, so here's my follow-up question. And these guys pushed back on me pretty hard yesterday with this.
Okay.
I'm a little bit more of a realist when it comes to when you're the 7th pick in the draft, right? I think everybody especially in the month right after you draft him, they've got this vision and the hope. And there's absolutely, that should be the hope, that if you have the seventh pick, that guy needs to be a star for you. Yeah. And at the position that you hope he plays. I'm a little bit more of a realist. So here's my middle-of-the-road, long-term scenario, and you tell me if you think this is still a victory.
Okay.
If Latham ends up being, and you can throw Skronsky into this mix too, to some degree, right? 11th pick who immediately went to guard, but I think has a pretty good outlook as a guard. But let's just go with Latham. Latham ends up being a starter, a guy that you invest a second contract in, but it's not at left tackle. It's either at right tackle or at guard. God forbid it would be guard. But
right.
But he's a starter, and he's playing well enough for you to invest a second contract in that. Is that a victory in your mind? Because I would contend that it is. It's not a home run, but it is not a whiff. Like, if Isaiah Wilson is a whiff, I mean, he's sombrero kind of whiff, right? There's a lot of levels to this. I would say it's a strong ground rule double if you're reinvesting. They didn't even reinvest in Jack Conklin, right? And he's pretty good. So how would you answer that? How would you answer that? Because
it's
Willie, give me your argument, and I will give you – I have my rebuttal ready. I've been thinking about this a lot.
Okay. They don't have many second contract guys, okay? So that I'm factoring this into my answer. It's not a bad thing. It's just tough for me to say that this guy – if this guy can't be your left tackle that he's drafted to be immediately, but how is he valuable? It's been like the road to the next position in a second contract is really rocky. And I don't know how you get
it's a 5-year process, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you've got 4 years to decide. On the fifth year.
Yeah, it's a 4-year process. If he's not your left tackle, do you pick up the 5th-year option kind of thing?
Right. That's where I was kind of going with that. So I still say count on him and it being a solid guy that I know I'm going to get a next contract with, even if it's not as a left tackle, I think that's still marked a success. Even though it's not the home run grand slam that you hope is the ideal.
I can't call it a success, Willie, because I don't think it puts the Titans in a position of success. Like that pick is really, really crucial for them. For the quickest route to success, I'm talking about.
No doubt.
You know, if this is a 5 or 6 year plan, like we're not talking, the Titans shouldn't be pushing towards the Atlanta Falcons outlook here, right?
Like that's why I preface it by saying I'm trying to this is more of a realistic everything work out. Because my thought would be, and I haven't done the research, I haven't done the scrolls, D-Mace, but I feel like the scrolls, I might have to get a page going on this in the scrolls. Let's take a draft and take the top 10 picks. Random years. Pick 5 years from the last 20 years, and let's take a look at the results of those 10 players. Because I would say in a given year, this is just how I would view it, of those 10 players, there's going to be at least 2 or 3 that are complete busts.
And of those 10 general managers, how many of them still have jobs?
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the success of the top 10 pick. Because everybody hopes that when they pick a guy in the top 10, that he turns out.
He works out.
So that's the expectation.
Yeah.
But it's not the reality, right? Of those top 10 picks, there's going to be, in a given year, 2 or 3 that bust.
And those teams aren't going to be very good.
Okay, but that's my point. But this is regardless of who the teams are, what the year is, would you agree if we did that research? And I'll do the research.
Yeah.
That 2 or 3 out of 10 are going to be disappointing.
Of course.
Well, very disappointing.
That doesn't make it
right?
acceptable
right.
for this team.
Because, and Hutt makes a good point. This is a lot of those guys are quarterbacks, and we know there's a lot of busts. Mm-hmm. There's by 50% rate busts in that. There'll be another 2 or 3 out of the 10 that are. What I just kind of described, right? Good players, maybe get the second contract, but aren't superstars, right? But they're play for a long time and are starters. And then maybe 2 or 3 of the other ones are the home run that we're looking for. Is that a reasonable assumption of any top 10?
I guess my
yes or no. I mean, do you agree with that? Am I way off base by saying that those are probably what you're going to find?
My view of it is, I don't view it as a home run if a guy plays. No, that's not my question.
I'm asking you the question of a top 10, regardless of position, regardless of year, regardless of team. Am I way off base by those numbers of the 10 picks? Two or three busts. I would put him in the middle class. He was a good player, on the lower end of a good player, below what I'm saying for Latham would be a success, right? But Davis was a good player on a good team. He wasn't a bust, right? And he obviously wasn't a home run.
So there's a lot of Corey Davises out there
in any top 10, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, no doubt. So the percentage chance of Latham being a home run is, you know, about 30-40%.
What's a home run?
Well, I think
he's a left tackle.
Based on the offensive line, if you just look at the hit rate, the success rate of those picks, line is far greater of a success rate than
what we would see
at wide receiver.
You have a better chance, you think, of hitting a top 10 lineman than top 10 quarterback.
But I don't view moving spots as a hit. You said for that, if you're going to hit, like,
but that's why I asked the question, is because I still think if you've got certainty, if you've got a good guy, even if he's not the ideal position, which is left tackle, I still think that's a victory to a level. I said it wasn't a home run, but it's still a success if he's really good as a guard or a right tackle.
Well, if you put him at right tackle, and he excels, then
there's a level, it's right tackle versus guard, right?
It's always a good thing or a hit when you can get a guy that is on a second contract and he's been a player for you, regardless of what position. He's been that guy that you can count on. You didn't have to worry about him. I understand we had to move him from left to right, but he's gotten on the right side and he's played really well, so much so that we don't have to worry about the right side now. Now, we do have to figure out the left side, but it doesn't mean it's a complete bust. It's a complete bust. It's a bust from the standpoint of we still got to look for our left tackle, but it's not a bust in regards to we got a good player. Now, I know how people will look at it. You drafted him to be a left tackle, and I would look at it too. Like, hey, you drafted him to be a left tackle. It didn't work out. So that was sort of it's not a pass-fail. To me, it's not. It's, okay, he didn't work here. We got to get this right. We got to find someone. But if we can put him somewhere else and he excels at that position, meaning right tackle, then we still got to win.
Right. That's the other question is how is the overall line play with him at this other position? And that's the beauty, I think. Maybe
I want him to work out at left tackle.
Oh, we all do. Yeah. We all do. That's the home run. That's the home run. But I'm saying there's a lot of – the percentage chance of it being a home run, just like any – hitter that comes up to the plate, nobody hits a home run every time. So, Hutt, this is why I think maybe it's an important question. If the quarterback doesn't get it, you can't move him to receiver. You can't move him to running in most cases, right?
That's right.
A lineman, you do have the ability to move him up around the line and find a better spot. There's not a lot of other positions. Like if you draft a wide receiver, are you going to move him to running back? You're going to move him to defensive back? In college, maybe, but not in the NFL. Right, you've got these levels. You got more of a level of success, and maybe that's the answer to your question, Hutt, about success rate of offensive linemen. I would say the levels of success would be in there.
Yeah, and wide receiver in Corey Davis's place, you draft AJ Brown, and you have an alpha come in, and he's the number one that kind of covers up the fact that the fifth overall pick is not the number one. But perception is reality here. They draft Peter Skoronski, and they play him at guard. They never try him at tackle, and he's a guard. Now, if they tried him at left tackle and they move him to guard, to me, they moved him because he wasn't good outside, and they've pieced him inside. But they've labeled him as a guard, and the new regime has done that too. With Latham, he's the left tackle. They didn't sit around and say, we're going to play him at both. We'll see where he fits like they did with
Dylan. For better or worse, they did say that.
Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, to me, he's the left tackle, and they did a lot of work on that. If he's not that guy, Mace, you brought, how's the offensive line play? Or Willie, how's the offensive line play if he moves to a different position and solidify? I mean, how's the quarterback play if he's not the left tackle? Not very well.
Depends on who they find.
There's a disaster up front to where I don't know how he moves a spot unless it's early on. He moves to a different spot and it's labeled some type of success, because I think as a whole, it's going to fail. Like they need him to be the guy that they've invested in. And to what you're saying, they need him to be at a level as a top 10 pick that is good at left tackle, right? Like not good at on the right side of the offensive line, as just a piece to the offensive line as they continue to look for their left tackle.
Last one for you, Huck, quickly. How many primetime games do you think the Titans are going to end up with this upcoming season?
Are we counting Thursday?
Sure.
You got to count.
Is that prime
time? You got to count Thursday. Every team gets a Thursday game, don't
Not they? Anymore.
Not, yeah, you're right. They
not
changed
anymore.
It.
Last
yeah.
year was the first year that not every team gets a Thursday
I mean,
game.
Before the flex, I mean, I think that maybe they get a Monday night game late in the season. So that I think what the Jets are rumored to be week two for the Titans.
At
here.
Chicago, rumored to be week one.
Hmm. Week one at Chicago. What, week two at, here against the Jets? Week eight in Detroit, I think.
Week 11 at home against the Vikings.
Okay.
That's all we
and
know.
Then,
so
now
far.
We're getting into flex. We're getting into the flex period there. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be lucky to have anything other than Thursday night.
I think so, too.
I'm with you on that one.
Hutt, appreciate your time and your insight as always. Appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll catch up next week.
At Chicago is interesting week one.
Caleb Williams.
A lot of change there. So, yeah. Paint your fingernails,
interesting.
Guys.
On the edge of my seat from now until September.
See ya.
All right. Appreciate it, Hutt.